The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Justin Sweetelson filling in for Gil Alexander today, tomorrow, and then Sunday. I go back to the night shift on Cashing Out. We make our return because football season is upon us. As always, hanging out with Kelly Bidlin at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I forced Kelly to do a lot of college football today because it is my passion. It's something I love. It's something that became a fixture in my life when I moved to the South in 2003. When I was reading a lot of this next guy. He is Mark Schlabaugh, ESPN.com writer, covers golf, covers college football better than anyone in the game. And just to make Mark feel old for a second, he gave me an award in 2008 when I was at Valdosta State for the second best sports story among the college newspapers in the state. I wrote at the Spectator, Valdosta State. I heard him speak. He did an amazing job. It always like motivated me.
Second best? You couldn't just lie about it?
I won second. I mean, that's reality. When you're at Valdosta State, you're up against it, man. I'm not Georgia. I don't go to the Grady School of Journalism. And Mark Schlabaugh joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. And no one's more locked in on the University of Georgia than you are. And that's where I want to start here, because Kirby Smart is a guy that I believe in and year out. Now, the roster outside of Gunnar Stockton, a few pieces at running back, there's not a lot of familiarity this year, but I believe in him more than a hyped up Texas team. What's the level of confidence you feel right now coming out of Athens?
I think he likes this team. And thanks for making me old, by the way. Was Chris Hatcher about off the state when you were down there?
What's that?
Was Chris Hatcher the head coach down there when you were down there?
Chris Hatcher, I was there for his last year in 05, and then I was there for the 07 title under David Dean. And I think somewhere Buster Faulkner is still telling people how much he hates me as he takes over as the OC at Florida.
Now, I think, you know, going back to your question on Georgia, I think Kirby really likes this team. I think he really likes his defense. I think it's as close to those 22 defenses that he's had. I don't think you're ever going to see a defense at any school that good ever again, just because the circumstances have changed and you can't stockpile five stars on top of five stars anymore because they don't want to sit in red shirt and wait their turn. I mean, that team had Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter running second team on the defensive line, which is insane. But they got to find a pass rusher. They get Gabe Harris back. He was hurt at the end of last year. They brought a kid in from Auburn. He got hurt in the spring. He's out. Elijah Griffin is kind of the same mold of those guys I talked about to be an All-American. Linebackers, I think Raylan Wilson, Chris Cole are ready to take off. Ellis Robinson's a stud on the back end. Will Muschamp has told me two or three times that DeMello Jones, the other corner, is probably better than Robinson. So defensively, I think they're going to be one of the best in the country. Offensively, Gunner's played really well in his first year as a starter. He's got to throw the ball over the middle. They've probably got 10 tight ends that are playing the NFL, it seems like. They got to get those guys involved in the passing game more. And the offensive line is going to be good. I mean, Dontrell Glover and Juan Gaston played a lot last year. Two freshmen, they're back. Drew Bobo's back from a foot injury that kept him out of the playoff. And then Ernest Green is moving back to the left tackle, so I think they feel good about where they're at up front. Got to have some young receivers step up. Isaiah Canyon, transfer from Georgia Tech, a big target. He's got to be good, and he's looked good so far. But schedule's not as tough as it's been, but they got to go to Alabama and Ole Miss, I think, in the SEC. So they'll be right there in the hunt.
Yeah, Mark, the odds tell us it's Georgia, Texas at the top. Do you see it that way, kind of a tier above everybody else in the SEC, or is there another school or two that you would throw right in the mix there at the top?
No, I like Texas. I'm with you, though. I've seen Kirby do it. I got to see Sark do it. He's never done it at USC or, you know, Texas. They bring in Cam Coleman, who I thought was the best player in the transfer portal. I mean, he was all world with me and you playing quarterback at Auburn the last couple of years. You know, and they got Wingo on the other side. Ryan Wingo, really good receiver. I think Arch will take a step this year. Thought he was really good down the stretch last season. They got to replace some guys on the O-line and a few guys on the D-line. But, you know, Sark's got a Georgia problem. He's got a Kirby problem right now. He hasn't been able to beat him. So what's he do? He goes out and hires Will Muschamp, who you know, was on Kirby's staff for those two national titles. So we'll see how much better they are on defense. Talking to Will over the summer, he feels good about the secondary, a little thin at linebacker, but, you know, Colin Simmons is a guy that, erases a lot. I'm really curious to see how good LSU is because, you know, obviously bringing Lane and, spent a ton in the portal. Ole Miss, I think he's got two of the best players in the league, if not the country, in Trinidad Chambliss and, Kawan Lacy, the tailback. They've got some holes to fill on defense, too. You know, how good is, Pete Golding? In his first full year, they brought in John David Baker, the OC from East Carolina, who was there before to replace Charlie Weiss Jr. So, yeah, those are the two big ones. Alabama, I love Kalen DeBoer. They got to figure out a way to run the ball. They were so soft on the offensive line last year. He fired his O-line coach, brought in a new one. They got four new starters up front, and it looks like Keelan Russell would probably end up being the guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go with Austin Mack early just because of his experience in the offense. But if they struggle to run the ball again, I think they're going to need Russell's athleticism back there. And who am I missing? A&M. I think Mike Elko is one of the top 5 to 10 football coaches in America right now. And if they can get Marcel Reed to cut down on turnovers, I think A&M is going to be really good too.
Yeah, it feels like everyone's sleeping on A&M despite being a playoff team a year ago. Mark Schlabach is our guest, ESPN.com college football reporter. We were just talking in our previous segment, Mark, where we have an article up at VSiN.com. People are not betting Indiana despite being the national champ, which is very weird. Even when there's, you know, big turnover, people tend to believe in the national champion to at least have a chance at repeating. Now, they look like a playoff team. Hoover's in. Cignetti keeps both of his coordinators. But does it surprise you in today's college football landscape that somehow Cignetti is not totally being bought into by the betting public from our end?
Yeah. I mean, because it's Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Indiana. I grew up 30 minutes from South Bend as a kid and was a big Notre Dame fan growing up. And then I tell everybody I grew up. You know, it's just nobody really believed in him until he, you know, won the Big Ten championship last year, in my opinion. But I think his process, their ability to evaluate transfers has been remarkable. I mean, and they obviously know how to coach because, you know, they brought in all those guys from James Madison and, won a national championship and went 16-0. And it's not like he was bringing them in from Michigan or somewhere. So I like the program they've already developed. I agree. Hoover, you know, big arm. He's got to cut down on the turnovers. He turned it over way too much at TCU the last couple of years. I know they really like Nick Marsh, the transfer from Michigan State at receiver. Charlie Becker's All-American. He's a stud. Getting Carter Smith back, the left tackle, is huge. Bunch of holes on defense. You know, getting the Stephen Daly back for a fifth year. I think he was hurt during the playoff last year. He was their best edge guy. You know, getting him back, I think, is pretty big. But, you know, schedule, he catches a lot of flack for his non-conference schedule, and it's well-deserved because it's an absolute joke. But he's figured out how to make it work. They got North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky this year. Play Ohio State at home, SC at home, and then at Rutgers, Nebraska, Washington on the road in Big Ten play. So I think you're going to be right back up there. I think that I had them in the top five, but I think that's what, at least where they should start.
Mark, we got about 2 minutes left. You mentioned being a Notre Dame fan growing up. They are the biggest favorite to make the playoff this year at minus 800, wow, meaning you have to lay 800 to win 100 here. They're the second shot on the board to win the national title. How do you think this group responds from being held out a year ago from the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, hopefully they'll show up for the games. You know, I love Marcus Freeman. I think he's done a hell of a job. I think C.J. Carr is another quarterback, kind of like Stockton, that could really make a jump up in his second season. They got to replace both running backs, so we'll see if Williams and Nolan James Jr. can step up. You know, they're solid on the offensive line, bringing Knapp and the other right guard back. Defensively, you know, I think they've been really good. I was trying to think of their schedule because
B- BYU and Miami are the big boys. Those are the two big boys.
Yeah,
they're
the big boys. Yeah, I mean, I think they're top 10. I think the way he's recruited, I think he might have the number one class in America right now.
Yeah.
In our rankings, you know, they just opened that new $100 million facility. He's got it rolling and got to the championship game 2 years ago. So he's done a really nice job. As good as Brian Kelly did there, I think Freeman has taken it to another level, and they should be right there in the hunt.
Yeah.
A little more on the back end of that defense is a stud too.
Yeah, and he just churns out the defensive players. And then C.J. Carr is probably the best quarterback we've seen for Notre Dame in a very long time. Mark, really appreciate the time. Love reading you over at ESPN.com. Thrilled to chat with you here on the program. Thanks for doing this, and have a great football season, man. Looking forward to chatting throughout the year.
Go Blazers, man. Thank you.
Yeah, go Blazers. Let's go. The title of the article that I came in second place for was from Buckeyes to Blazers. From Buckeyes and Blazers to VSU, from Buckeyes and Gators.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, from Buckeyes and Gators to VSU Blazers. Because after we won a national title, everyone started transferring to Valdosta State from D1s. Guys who were on big programs to get a chance to play.
I remember those years.
So we had two kids from Florida, one from Ohio State, and they had played in the national title the year prior, a few years prior. Now they were on Valdosta State.
I remember a few Florida State castoffs ending up over there.
Fabian Walker, national champion in 2004 for the Valdosta State Blazers. There is a new highest paid running back in the league. It's not who you think. We'll tell you who it is coming up next on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season is almost here. The sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from our four major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered, sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts, every play logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live logged since 2021. It all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one because most records couldn't survive it. The Sharp Plays record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. It is A Numbers Game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. Breaking news out of the National Football League. Bijan Robinson just got paid. Jonathan Taylor just got paid. And officially that leads to Jahmyr Gibbs is now the highest paid running back in the NFL. 3-year contract extension for Gibbs, and it looks like, according to Jordan Schultz, the goal is to get a deal done today, and then Jahmyr Gibbs will return to practice. None of us are really shocked by this news. It did seem it was going in the direction of, once the other dominoes fell, Gibbs would be paid. The question I have, if I am Bijan Robinson's people, why was he expected to get paid first and Jahmyr Gibbs get more after?
Yeah, I don't really know. That would be.
They were taken in the same draft.
It was my biggest question too when that came down. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Yeah, man, it's been a lot of running back news here the past few days. Yeah, I don't know. I would have thought it would have ended up being the highest paid if you had asked me this 2 weeks ago.
And then this is the great debate everyone's having: rush yard leader, offensive player of the year. These are the two guys at the top of the betting board. It's just really a preference of situation. It's a preference of guys. But Jahmyr Gibbs, coming off a year where, remember, David Montgomery was still in the fold. 1,200 on the ground, 600 through the air, 18 total touchdowns. Because he is such a home run threat anywhere on the field, I understand why he is slightly favored than Bijan Robinson. I'm going to lean on Bijan a little bit more. I don't know if it's numbers-based. I don't know if it's situationally based. I was on Bijan Robinson last year. I don't want to be early to that party if he winds up winning it this season.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm right there with you. Right, we get tweets. We haven't done that today.
Want to do it?
We got a few of them. We got tweets from a Matt Brown, M2.
Oh.
Hey, guys, first time, long time. What do you think about LSU becoming the first team to go 21-0 in college football history? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Whoever you are.
I don't think it's going to happen. Did we decide what the three most famous Queen songs were? That was a big debate at Barry's over the weekend.
Oh, I saw that live on Ready, Set, Bet over the weekend.
I saw your tweet. It was great.
Yeah. That was like inside joke stuff. But yeah. I think Matt got crushed. He was not happy on air.
What he was saying, Fat Bottom Girls wasn't one of their marquee songs. Here's the one we missed at dinner because maybe we had a few too many drinks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We
probably missed like five.
We Are the Champions. We got We Will Rock You. We got. There was another one that we got. None of us mentioned Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah. Mike Somich got a lot of support. That's all I remember from over the weekend. Okay, this is my favorite tweet of the day. Mm. No, they left you out. Thomas O'Toole left you out of this one. I'm doing this on purpose so I don't win the Kenny Pickett football, but that had to be a record for the number of times Kenny Pickett's been said in one sports segment. Calling Guinness Book of World Records.
That's well done.
And probably the most his name's been said in a long time.
Okay, we do have a winner for who's going to get one of those footballs, though. I already decided because the email was that good. Cashing out at VSiN.com. This is from the Denver Bills backers. I know it's confusing. They're the Bills backers. They live in Denver.
They're from Denver. I got it.
So they're an official Bills backers group, licensed 501c nonprofit organization. We don't have a specific story about Connor McGovern, but we can tell you no other person or group will use the sign football in a better way. If you decide to bestow the football upon our group, we will use it in one of our charitable raffles this season. For what it's worth, in our first 2 years of existence, the proud family of Denver Bills backers have donated over $20,000 to charities, both locally here in Denver and back home in Buffalo, Western New York. Feel free to check out our website. I checked it out. It's a very legit website. And all of the charities they've worked with are listed there. Safe House Denver, Max Fund Denver, Mercy Chefs, Mile High United Way, Habitat for Humanity, LA Fire Department, Ronald McDonald House. I already emailed them. Well, I have their address. They're getting the Connor McGovern football.
That sounds like the easiest winner selection in all drawings ever.
Done. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It's over. That's well done, VSiN audience.
Yeah, for real. You know, I mean, someone's going to actually put that football to good use.
Yeah, it's perfect. I didn't have to tell them the reason why I think it was $12, $13 because there's a smudge on it. I didn't do the smudge, but there's a smudge on it.
Yeah, sure.
Want to play a little this or that, my friend?
This or that. I'll set you up for the baseball ones.
Let's do it.
All right. This or that. And with some of these, this or that or that. This or that. American League Cy Young. Cam Schlittler at -130. Dylan Cease at +110. Or the field, which is 20-1 or longer.
Oh, there's just not that much room left in the regular season, right? These two are at the top of the betting board for good reason. Schlittler, I am very concerned about the innings. I think his next start coming off a rough one against the Cardinals will tell the story of what direction we're heading in and if the Yankees need to manage his innings down the stretch. Dylan Cease, he has a start tonight against the Cubbies. Might be difficult on the road in Wrigley. And if he gets banged up, his number could get a little bit longer. If I'm doing anything here, I am betting Schlittler. Even though I have concerns about the innings, I think he's had a better season overall.
Mm-hmm.
Cease has been crazy lately with him pitching deep into games, and that's worth noting. I think Toronto wants him to win this award. They're going to give him some opportunities to get out of some trouble or maybe get him out before there is, but I think he's going to be allowed to go 6, 7, 8 innings if he needs to. The pitch count might get thrown out the window. That is my concern with that. But right now, I've been wrong about Schlittler all year. It could start to happen now off of one bad start, but he's rebounded from his bad starts in the past.
Okay. I like it. I think I agree. If I had to make one bet today, it would just be laying it with Schlittler. That's where I'm at too. Okay. This or that or that. Astros, Rangers, Mariners, Guardians. One of these teams you have to bet on today to make the playoffs. Where are you going?
Well, as of right now, we're looking at the wild card picture. Texas and Cleveland are in. Mariners are out. And actually, the Orioles are in between the Mariners and the Guardians, and the Twins are tied with the Mariners as well. If I'm going with any of these teams, I hate that these words are coming out of my mouth. I hate that these words are coming out of my mouth because, you know what? I have on my rundown that it was Guardians, not Astros. But I do think the Astros are okay. Originally, I thought it was Guardians. I'm going Astros. I was going to say the Mariners because that's what I have here. We're going to go Astros, -135. Astros are making the playoffs. You know why? The Astros are winning the division. The Astros don't need the wild card. And I think the pitching can't be worse than it was early in the year. So it's going to improve from here on out. So I'm going to go with the Astros to make the postseason. Let's go to NFL MVP. We're all throwing your way.
Yes.
You have like a choice of this or that or this.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, 10-1 to be MVP.
No.
Caleb Williams, 13-1. Dak Prescott, 13-1.
Caleb Williams, 13-1. I'm with you. I don't really love any of these numbers on these guys, but I do think you brought it up yesterday, the day before. I'll be okay if I miss out on a Justin Herbert or Dak Prescott yes. MVP run. I'm going to be beating myself up a fair amount if I miss out on the Caleb Williams
MVP
run.
Well, there's a chance that of the three, Caleb Williams, this is the last chance he'll ever be double digits to be MVP. Dak would probably be next year.
Right.
Herbert will probably be next year around the same number. There's a world where we go into next year and Caleb Williams is your betting favorite for MVP. That's the upside that he has. And oh, by the way, let's remember he has a brilliant mind at offensive coordinator with Ben Johnson as the head coach.
That's a great call. It's a great call in the movement. I guess Herbert's a little bit more up in the air of like, if he actually makes a deep playoff run, that team continues to build. Maybe he's shorter than this next year. I don't think those Dak odds are going anywhere though.
No, and I like Dak this year and I like the Cowboys this year, which leads us to the next one. This or that, who advances further? The Cowboys at plus 165, the Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 250, or a tie at plus 145?
Man, this is a good one. I would never bet the tie in this market. We need got a lot more bang for my buck on that one when we're between these two teams. Look, I brought up the other day, I think Steelers might be a bet on for me to miss the playoffs this year. Not going under the win total, but I think to miss the playoffs. Cowboys, I think, are probably going to be one of those teams right on the bubble pushing to make it. If that offense can stay healthy again this year, you get a little bit of help back on the defensive side of the ball. No, I don't think they're going to make huge strides on the over there on the defense, but still, I think they have a better chance of cracking into the NFC playoff picture than the Steelers do. And then once they get in, I still think there's easier to advance in the NFC playoffs than the AFC.
One of these teams, I think, could win their division. The other one can't. That's the Cowboys. Yeah, yeah. So on that alone, that's why I think they advance further. And that means that they are possibly a playoff team. I don't envision a world where Pittsburgh's in the postseason. Mike Tomlin's gone, guys. Mike McCarthy is dated. I'll give him credit. He won in Dallas. That was with Dak. Aaron Rodgers is old, and I don't think he's all that focused on football right now. So that'll do it for a fun edition of This or That. Coming up here in the program, still a lot to get to between Kelly and I, the baseball betting card, where I have a prop on a strikeout today that I don't really understand why the number is so low. And more on the baseball, because there is a hero potentially coming back to a World Series contender. We'll tell you who that is on the other side of a numbers game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson with Kelly Bidlin. We only have 3 hours and 30 minutes together, my friend, and then the Summer of Swede Tour officially ends. It's like the last day of summer camp, which you're not a Northeastern. You don't understand summer camp. You don't understand what it means.
No, it's, yeah, you're right. I
had this conversation with Stormy a year ago.
Unfortunately, I've hung out with enough people in my during my life that have told me that basically that exact same thing.
You mean Jewish people? Yeah.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. You mean Jewish people whose parents didn't want to parent them in the summer, so they sent them somewhere else?
A lot of that was going on. Yeah,
I was one of those people as well. But it's like the end of summer camp where like you say goodbye. Oh my God, I'm going to miss you all. I'm going to back tonight. Going back tonight, I might as well be living in a different world than the rest of you on the network.
Just cue up the Green Day graduation song?
Yeah. Hope you had the time of your life.
Hope you had the time of your life.
I remember being so bitter when I graduated high school in 2003 that the class before us used that song. And then the class before them was, I believe, when the butterfly song, as we go on.
There's no way that Green Day song still gets used, right?
Oh, 100% it does.
I think it does too, right?
It's a banger.
I mean, it is, and it fits that type of ceremony very well, but like that's really been running for like 25 years now at this point.
That was off of Nimrod.
Does that also mean it's like their most popular song?
No. Ooh, you know what?
If it's used at every graduation across America.
But here's the that's the first CD I remember owning as a kid, other than like Crisscross Jump.
That is the first CD I remember owning as a kid too.
But it wasn't
Dookie.
No, yeah, Dukie was the first one.
That was the first CD.
Yeah, yeah, that was Nimrod. So Basket Case to me was that's the original Green Day song.
Right.
Do you have the time?
Yeah, yeah. Which I think most people would say is their most popular song. It's not even close. But if we're talking about every graduation playing this damn song.
But then remember when they quote unquote sold out, which I always think it's ironic when people talk about bands selling out. You mean that feeding their family for generations?
Yeah.
You wouldn't sell out at your job to make money? Remember in the 2000s, American Idiot, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Holiday, they became so much more popular. I think their later stuff is actually technically more popular than the 90s. Yeah,
maybe you're right, but is it just because of our ages? Like, I was part of that group. I thought they went downhill completely with that.
Because it just wasn't who we grew up on, but they were trying to attract a different audience at that point.
Yeah.
It's like with sports. Sports are trying to hook the casual audience. The diehards will always be there, but they don't care about the because they know you're baked in. By the way,
this is why we talk about star power. What sport were we talking about earlier in the week? But I think about this all the time with UFC. UFC is just always in a tough spot because you need the Conor McGregors to win and keep winning, right? And they need to be stars and they need to be around, and that draws huge audiences and a lot of people to watch. Problem is, in UFC, guess what? It's really easy to lose.
Yes.
It's hard to keep winning in a sport where people are hitting you.
Yeah. Just one last note on Green Day. I promise we'll move on. Danny Higgins does not like this. He's the esteemed producer of A Numbers Game. Gil Alexander doesn't go this deep into Green Day talk. I was just thinking because, to me, the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, top two receivers, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, with the tight end Colston Loveland. That's kind of like the song list you have on Dookie.
Hits.
Basket Case.
Yep.
Longview.
When I Come Around.
When I Come Around. Welcome to Paradise.
Yep.
It's a strong group.
Real strong.
I think Nimrod might be better, though.
Real strong.
What's on Nimrod? I promise.
You look it up. I'm going to bring up a random thing that we didn't discuss when we were talking about our quarterback depth charts. I feel like this needs to be said, and if people aren't aware of this, they really need to be aware of this, because, I kind of just stumbled into it yesterday, too. The Bengals quarterback depth chart.
It's different.
Joe Burrow. Right? Mm-hmm. We all know that. Okay. Joe Flacco, still around there.
Weird.
Backup. Josh Johnson, also on this team. You have two quarterbacks over the age of 40 on the roster.
And also two quarterbacks that I don't think you want to get hurt. Does that mean you're getting a long run of Sean Clifford?
Oh, I would think we're getting a lot of Sean Clifford this preseason. Yeah.
That is a weird one. I'll tell you a couple weird ones that I highlighted that didn't ultimately make my top five when we went over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miami's backup situation could be dangerous in preseason football. Quinn Ewers trying to prove that he belongs.
Yeah.
Cam Miller, who was hyped up by everyone, where Tom Brady drafted him with the Raiders.
Have you heard a single good thing about Quinn Ewers yet, though? Every report I've heard about him so far, it has not been good.
Yeah, but it's the preseason. This is a former five-star recruit who's going to be taking on guys who are probably two-star recruits. I always think about it that way.
No, I know, but you hear what I just... That's why we always say, everybody always says, everybody looks amazing in camp. I've actually heard, negative things about him in camp.
No, that's probably fair. I think the underrated one that maybe we should have considered for preseason betting purposes, and I'm surprised, I probably should have... This is probably a missed spot by me. Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph. Will Howard and Drew Aller are about to get a lot of run. Not to fall victim to the training camp videos... Drew Aller apparently looks like he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of his generation playing for the Steelers.
So I think that conversation is interesting, though, because I think I don't necessarily look for those situations. There is absolutely the possible upside, right? But at the end of the day, we're talking about a rookie going up against other backups and rookies on the defensive side of the ball. Give me a veteran who's seen real NFL action, regular season action against those same type of defenses. I believe in that a lot more.
See, I get where you're coming from. My thought is more just something to prove, ultra talented. Mm-hmm. The plays are going to break down and be bad anyway. Guys are going to run wrong routes. You're looking just for a couple of shots here and there. And if they have the ability that they had in college to translate it all to the next level, that's why I'm thinking about them. Baltimore, for example, for what you're saying, they have Tyler Huntley and Skylar Thompson in that quarterback room. Maybe that's why you'd think about Baltimore in the preseason.
Yeah, they were one that I had considered a bit as well. They checked those boxes for sure. I also like having the legs too, right? I think that's like what Justin Field, like that's not the Chiefs. We both had the Chiefs, right? I think that's an interesting depth chart situation there. Well, we're not going to see any Mahomes.
It's Nussmeier, who was injured his last year at LSU, so we don't really know what he is. I'm really fascinated to see him in that system. And then,
which is a guy who checks your box of something to prove.
Yes,
right?
And then Chris Olave, who, did he start last year?
Yeah, he started a game, I believe.
He started, I believe, one game last year. So, and that's a guy they're high on because he's mobile, and again, I like the mobile.
And then there's Justin Fields there, we don't know how much he's going to play in the preseason.
That's my thing, is like,
But you're not you're not worried about holding him out because you think there's future trade value or anything, do you?
I would hold him out because I don't know what Mahomes is going to look like in
No, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
That would be my one issue there.
Yeah, you're right. You can't play him much just because maybe the shakiness of Mahomes coming into the season. You're right.
It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly Bidlin, Dustin Sweetelson here. Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. News out of Major League Baseball. Aaron Boone yesterday told reporters that Aaron Judge, with the rib injury, cleared for light activity after latest scans.
Uh-oh.
That's via Brian Hawk, who covers the team for a long time. I want to see what Judge looks like. I'm not buying that he comes back and is Judge of the past. If he is, if somehow I'm wrong, because I'm not a doctor, I'm just speculating here, but this seems like it was a pretty bad injury for him. And when you think about the rib and the swing and how that impacts every single time he's at the plate, if he can be 75-80% of Aaron Judge, which is what, like a 40 home run hitter, the Yankees can win the pennant. The American League is that wide open. But if Aaron Judge doesn't come back in any capacity, I don't believe in the Yankees at all as a playoff team.
I think I am happy, like you said, I think I'm happy to wait and see with him and them, right? I'm willing to bet the Yankees at a worse price. Who has convinced you in the American League, right? I'm not convinced on anybody. I still think they're probably the best team. I'd rather bet at a worse price knowing he's close to full health.
The Orioles being a half game out of the wild card is crazy to me. I have 30-1 to win the World Series and 30-1 to win the American League.
That's awesome. I'm over their win total, I believe.
I'm on their over win total, which is
live?
No, I don't think I don't think so. Where are we at? We're at 50. No.
I have them to win the AL East as well.
Kelly, I was there, buddy. I was there for all of it. I was leading the party. I was getting the poll out. Not for what you think. We're going to do the limbo. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, there you go.
I was getting the poll out for us to have a good time. Hey, preseason football, it's back, and it's time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. So that's the big story out of baseball as far as that is concerned. PCA is your favorite for NL MVP right now. That was a big move overnight. Mm-hmm. As the Dodgers have now lost 6 in a row. The latest, a sweep by the Cubs. 7-6 was the score yesterday. PCA, 2 homers. Ohtani with 2 homers. But PCA moves to the front of the betting board to win the National League MVP. As far as AL MVP, Yordan Alvarez is -$9. Jordan Caminero, Junior Caminero is coming off a monster series in Colorado. We have great numbers I gave out on this show when you were out, 40-1. And we're just going to have great CLV because he's 6-1 and he's not going to win this
award. Is that over?
Yordan Alvarez is contending for the Triple Crown, so I don't really know how you knock it off.
Okay. Does he win it if he doesn't win the Triple Crown?
Yes.
So, okay. By the way, we're interesting over at Kalshi. Ohtani, I think Danny sent this to us yesterday, and that it had moved to PCA as the favorite, yes, right? Ohtani's back to the favorite.
Oh.
-120 over there.
You want to play the plus price as it goes back and forth? I don't hate that idea. I am staying far away. What I'm attacking, though, is the baseball card. My bet's next on a numbers game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson alongside Kelly Bidlin, Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. Vibes are high. Scene's popping. People all over the place here with Bet Bash in town. Not right now. I meant like later today.
Yeah, but no, it did get popping, though. I wanted to check.
Is there no one on a Zoom call today in the sportsbook behind us? We were watching a guy in a meeting yesterday, literally like 15 feet below
that was
us.
Great. I wish we were on for one segment longer yesterday. Just so we could have played out your idea.
We need a mobile cam.
Yeah, we do.
You need to let me be on the move, people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't move that fast, so you probably
the other one I've, me with a lot. I've said for years, I want a green screen. Really want to be able to show off our graphics.
Wait, this is a green screen, but don't tell people that.
Oh, yeah, right.
They're going to find out. We're not actually in the sports book.
Downstairs.
Wonder how long you get away from that. That's like my least favorite thing in broadcasting. No offense to anyone who does it, but like the bad software that people have where they buy the green screen, they think they're going to trick us, and then every time they move, you just catch like the little edges. Yeah. I'm like, dude, just like paint the wall a color or something. I don't know. Do something different.
It's not
here.
That bad.
All right, baseball today. We have neglected the card. I do have a few plays that I threw up at VSiN.com/picks. And I want to begin with a player prop because I don't really understand it. And that game's starting in about 25, 30 minutes here. It's the Mets at the Guardians. Nolan McClain faces Foster Griffin. McClain, 1.49 ERA his last six starts, 42 strikeouts and 36 in the third innings. He has a 2.29 road ERA as well. K rate's not as good, but still over one an inning, 65 and 59 innings. His opponent batting average is actually better on the road at home. I've been burnt betting Cleveland the last couple nights, fading the Mets has not worked out for me. I like their addition of Foster Griffin, who makes his first start as a Guardian. He's off his worst start since May. Six earned, 5 1/3 at Atlanta on Friday. Mets got him for 5 earned in 5 innings back on May 19th. I think the Mets finished the job here. I'd lean plus 115, but my official play is Nolan McClain over 5.5 strikeouts at minus 137. I'm sorry, that is a crazy number for a guy who's capable of double digits anytime he's on the mound. It hasn't gone that way lately, but he has cleared 5.5 in 4 straight starts for him. And the one like outlier in this run where going back, if we go back to June 12th, he's only had one where he hasn't cleared 5.5, and that was on the road at Atlanta against that offense. I love Nolan McClain to go over 5.5 Ks today.
That is interesting. Is he normally priced at that? I don't even know if you know, but is that normally what his strikeout props at? And
no,
then is
he's
it
normally
just
a six, he's normally a 6.5, 7.5 guy. Cleveland doesn't strike out a ton. That's probably baked into this, and their lineup has improved since the deadline, but I don't care. That's a really, really good. He struck out 7 against the Dodgers. He had 10 at the Phillies a few starts ago. Like, this guy's, I thought about laddering him up, but every time I've laddered someone recently, it hasn't gone well. And I'm going to have to talk to Steve Fezzik tomorrow on the show, and I won't have to defend myself about laddering a prop.
The other one I'm noticing is, like, man, he pretty consistently, I mean, doesn't go super deep into games, but he goes
6 innings.
He goes 6 innings pretty innings. Damn consistently.
You have to pay a lot of juice to get the over 17 and a half outs recorded on him, though. The books know that. I think it was like minus 170 when I looked earlier this morning, which I don't.
Yeah, it's
to lay it on a prop. I'm not the most I'll go is like 150-ish range if I really love it. But if that doesn't come home, because you start missing 2 or 3 of those, think about how many you have to make up ground on down the road to pay for that mistake.
Yeah, that's sorry if you mentioned this already, but that is eight starts in a row where he's been 6 innings or longer.
He's a stud. I actually don't understand. Like, I get pitchers winning the NL Rookie of the Year. It's difficult, but I do think he's making a pretty strong case. I did neglect this. This is my fault. I forgot the Orioles game was starting. I am currently sweating out a bet in the second inning. I'm on the Orioles first 5. I threw this up at VSiN.com/picks a few hours ago. Orioles first 5, minus a half run, minus 130. We'll see how this plays up, but Ryan Johnson stinks. He has a 9.55 road ERA. That game is currently going on. The only other official play I have right now, and I might add more later on, is we're going to go later in the slate. Detroit's at Seattle. I am a big Bryce Miller fan, but I'm actually going to fade him today. Give me the Tigers and Framber Valdez plus 116. Now, Framber's off a good start at the A's, but the A's have been really bad lately. 7 innings, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts. Seattle is horrendous against lefties. They're bottom 2 in the league in OPS against southpaws on the season. Framber comes to town, and this is one of those spots where I'm going to try to use something that is not actual sports and is more of an angle with motivation to find a bet, because that's worked out for me in the long run. And that is, Tarek Skubal is gone. Framber Valdez was signed in the offseason to somewhat replace Skubal in anticipation of this trade going down with him in a contract year. It's time for Framber Valdez to step up. The Detroit Tigers are a team that can still make the playoffs. And if Framber pitches like he has in the past, when he was a legit ace, Detroit can do that. So I'm going to assume he starts stepping up here in a good matchup against the Seattle offense that I don't trust, especially against lefties. I'll take that plus price at plus 114.
All right, like it. What else you got today?
That's it for the baseball.
That's it for the baseball.
Okay. How are we looking with the golf?
We're okay. Tom Kim could have made that. Would have been nicer. It looks like Tom Kim's going to finish 5 under for his round. He was one of the outright bets I had. The other two have not teed off yet, in case you are interested. Hideki Matsuyama and Emiliano Grillo both have not begun their first rounds at the Wyndham Championship. Right now, it is Bo Hostler at 8 under par, I believe is what he's just moved to with a birdie. Yeah, 8 under par through 17. He is your leader out there on the course. Matty Schmid, Denny McCarthy, and Davis Thompson all at 6 under, and then a big group at 5 under. So 3 outrights, Tom Kim just finishing his round, Hideki and Emiliano Grillo starting here in the next like 20, 30 minutes. So be quick if you do want to join me on here. Top 10s on Hideki as well. I have first round leader bets on Hideki and Emiliano Grillo as well. So if you want to get involved, those guys have not begun their rounds yet. Ben Cole's, I believe Blades Brown is out there already. No, Blades Brown hasn't started yet either.
Hall of Fame game tonight in the National Football League. It's the Panthers and the Cardinals. Steve McNair with a great write-up at VSiN.com with the trends for the Hall of Fame game specifically. This opened 36.5. What did I say? We were down to 35, I want to say. Was it 34 circa? Is that what it was? After I saw it move and you didn't?
We have a prominent offshore at 33.
I'm telling you, we're going to get below 33. I'm telling you, we're going to get below 30. Right. That is my vibe, or at least at 33. At 36.5, though, that was the highest posted total since 2012. Underdog, 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread since 2013. The over's on a 4-0 run after going 7-2 to the under before that. And posted totals of 34 or higher are 6-1 to the under. I'm doing this because this one's a really tough one to predict. I went with the same game parlay. We're going to go for fun, okay? Funsies. We're going to go over in the first half, 17.5. We're going to go game under 35. That pays 4-1 for me. And I wanted to add this. I placed my first NFL bet of the regular season. It's officially in the book.
Game bet. Okay, what you got?
Week 1, Falcons and the Steelers. Can you guess what I did with this game?
Ooh, I have no idea. Hold on. Over?
Under 41.5.
Okay.
It's Aaron Rodgers, who can't move.
I probably would have guessed that if we didn't have all these Falcons defensive injuries here the past couple of days.
I also don't believe in Tua. I think it's going to be two conservative game plans between two new head coaches. But I would caution anyone who's like, oh, it's a good play. I want to tell it. It's my play that I like. But I was on the Falcons Steelers, I think it was 2 years ago, week 1 under. And I believe that game went over with Justin Fields going off at Mercedes-Benz. I don't trust either quarterback here. I don't think either of them can really push the ball downfield and make big plays.
Yeah, it's a good call. Now you got me staring at the week 1 lines. I haven't made any bets yet, man. There are a few. There are multiple though that I've highlighted months ago or whatever these came out that I'm still interested in. Bills Texans. This is probably worth bringing up right now because if you are a teaser player like I am, I'm looking at 1.5s on both sides. Bills laying 1.5 on the road at Houston. Houston laying 1.5. Yeah, that's interesting. And I think there are some good teaser partners for week 1. Jags hosting the Browns. They're out to like 7.5-point favorites. I think that could be a nice combination there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start betting some of the college football right now. Some of the NFL. Just want to see if I can beat some of these. A lot of them have moved already.
Yeah, that's what's tough.
So you might be too early waiting for that late movement, but I'm going to start getting some of these bets in here because the numbers have been up there and available for us, and we're starting to focus on the football. I'm really considering, before we get out of here, the Dolphins' worst record +350. I don't see how it doesn't happen, which means there's no way it's going
to
happen.
Well, to me, it's the Cardinals lose. So I'm like, I just bet both of them. You're still getting like, it's like +125 if you bet both of them.
I think the Dolphins are so better much worse. And I think the Dolphins are so offensively tanking in a way that we haven't seen this side of the NBA. Like, they're intentionally throwing out a loser. The roster stinks on purpose.
Yeah. I think they're doing a good job with it, though. Like, hey, let's see what Malik Willis has. We get to be one of those teams that actually gets to say that, and we don't really know.
In today's sports, if you're not winning, you better be losing. The last thing you want to be doing, if you want to be losing, is winning a little. You want to lose a lot. Guarantee you get the best pick possible. Yep. The best picks possible are coming your way next. Prop Points, Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz, they take over. Then you get Money Moves with Stormy and JVT, followed by Mitch and Paul and Follow the Money. For Kelly, I'm Dustin. See you next time.